Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
WTIC. Yes, it's Friday. Last hour. In another hour, we'll be kicking off Order Up, our food hour. But a half hour before that, at 4, what time? At 4:40, say, in about a half hour, a little more than a half hour, we'll have a food guest. I've never done that before, kind of getting us into the food hour gradually. The book is called Mob, M-O-B-B, Mob Cookbook and Diet with Dr. Frankie Spice Morelli. It's a, gangster Italian cooking or something, which sounds good to me because I love Italian food. And I think my love of it started maybe when I was a young guy. We used to go to the north end of Boston to eat. And there was, I forget his name, the big gangster I saw a few times in the coffee shop he owned in the north end. So I don't know. I've always had an affinity for the food, not for the violence or the corruption or anything. But I like Italian food, don't you? Okay, you ready for a rant? Let's play a rant.
Todd, I'm calling about the story with Deep and the emissions numbers. Marketers have a name for that. It's called gaming the numbers. The story has been revised to not talk about what it originally stated, which was the numbers 2 years ago, or what the baseline was, which was during the shutdown, so there was less driving. And then they go on to say how the last 2 years it's been up. Well, of course it's up, because the benchmark was used, which was artificially low, and we turn around and we manipulate the story and use the cookbook numbers to make it look like things are terrible. Classic manipulating the numbers to suit the narrative. Have a good one.
Yeah, this is about, they just make stuff up. All this stuff is fabrication. And this story is about a new federal report that says the effects of climate change are worsening in every region of the U.S., but the technology to address it exists. Well, you guys, come on, you run the government. What have you been doing? You climate change freaks. Come on, man. All right, let's find out how the ride home is going. Mark Christopher's watching it closely. It's a volatile Friday. BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. What's going on, sir?
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Okay, it's WTIC. 860-522-9842. More rants. Don't forget, we take calls during the rant line. You are welcome to join in the conversation. 860-522-9842. The rant line number, 860-751-4698.
2 days ago, Joe couldn't read the teleprompter. Last night at a fundraiser in Westchester County, he couldn't remember the date of January 6th. And now the latest thing is when Joe is walking to the helicopter, instead of walking by himself, he may have at least two or three aides around him so that people don't notice how much he's shuffling. Come on, people. How much more do you have to be shown that he is not capable of handling this office?
I don't know what you can do to hide the shuffle. Really, you could put, you know how those guys, what are mimes? They'll pretend to be going down a set of stairs. They've got a panel set up to hide the bottom half of their body, but they're just crunching themselves down. They could maybe do that with Joe.
Hi, Todd. I'd like to say that I oppose funding any foreign wars. I've been opposed to that for decades. But this Israel-Palestine thing, you know, if Israel, if Palestine were to set down all their weapons and ask for peace, there would be peace. But if Israel set down all their weapons and asked for peace, Palestine would continue to kill them. So, I mean, there's always that. Thank you.
Yes, but what I'm saying is government is the most evil force on earth. The Palestinians are paid for by the U.S. government, and the Israelis' war machine is paid for by the U.S. government, by us, in other words, our tax dollars. And that's just an example of how crazy stuff gets when you have big bureaucracy with perverted desires and intentions guiding public policy. So what we know of government is it's corrupt and dangerous, malicious, and it robs us blind. Our government now has robbed us blind, destroyed the country financially, destroyed the state financially. All for nothing. We have nothing to show for any of this. Do we have as much poverty as we did 100 years ago? Sure. Do we have as much violence? Sure. Do we have as much corruption? Sure. Do we have healthier people or less healthy? Well, I would say less healthy. We live longer because of a few things like indoor plumbing and the ability to, you know, having a sewer system, being able to eliminate waste. But our outcomes are not improving. They're declining. Our quality of life is worse in many ways because we've made our quality of life so good. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but if you think about it, we are over-devoted to the wrong things, and government is not helping us get better. Government is a problem. We've got a terrible education system in this country because it's controlled by the government. Why is that? Is that because they want the best for us, or because they want to rig the system so they can win elections by turning the power in the education system over to a special interest group? That's what they have done. They don't mind permanent poverty in the cities they run because they keep packing more poverty into it all the time. They keep importing poverty now to make things worse in the cities and in the urban schools. So the people who control everything in there are more needed because they're the ones who hand out the bribes to keep people in line. Government is grotesque, and the only way we protect ourselves from it is by using the systems that were built into our system of government, the infrastructure that's provided for us to climb ourselves out of the swamp. If we don't defend freedom of speech, we are attacking our own futures. It is our freedoms that defend us. And once you're reminded of that principle, it's very easy to just say, forget about it. I'm not worried about following the principles. I'm not scared of those kids who are, I disagree with them vehemently, but let them speak at the universities because free speech is better. And the reason free speech is better, one big reason free speech is better, is because if people are speaking freely, then nobody has the power to stop them. And if the power to stop free speech exists, it will be used against everybody. Simple principle. It's not that I don't disagree with these people as much as you do. It's that I disagree with having corrupt government control everything.
Hello, Todd. John here. These monies going to Taiwan, Ukraine, and wherever. Cut $1 billion off of each one of these places where our funds are going, and what good could St. Jude's do with $1 billion? And the Shriners and any other cancer funding university or scientist. So we're going to send billions and billions for Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan. Instead of sending billions and billions, cut $1 billion off from Ukraine.
How about cut it all out and keep it all internal? How about doing that?
Marjorie Taylor Greene is being called a scream because she says Mike Johnson needs to be uprooted from his job as speaker because he's lost his way. Mike Johnson says he's got information from the SCIF, secret information about, you know, that the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA has danced in front of him, showing him how much danger the United States is in from foreign adversaries, and that America needs to be protected. And the way we protect it is we send $100 billion to far-flung places in the world like the Ukraine, like Israel, and like others, okay? So be it. But in that case, why does that bill not have $1? Why does that bill not have one sentence about protecting America's southern border? Dollars spent on closing the southern border to protect us from the infiltration of terrorists. There's no effort made. It's completely forgotten in the bill. So who's lost their way here? Mike Johnson or Marjorie Taylor Greene?
I couldn't listen. I'm sorry. My attention drifted to something else. Apologies.
Hello, Radio World. This is Max from Bristol. Now, all these college students at these big, expensive Ivy League schools getting a great education, fantastic education. What I don't get is, where are the parents in all of this? These kids are young. They have parents. Most of these parents are probably paying for their school. But these kids aren't in class learning. What are the parents saying? Do they support this? Who is them? Who are they? And also, do these college kids know that if they want to support Hamas, okay, go over there then. Go over to their side. Move. Leave America. Go over there and say, hey, guys, I'm with you. I'm an American, and I'm with you. What they don't understand is that they'll chop their heads off too. They will kill them instantly because they are infidels. They are Americans.
Yeah, I don't think logic will do much of anything for these kids, so you can't talk to them, you know?
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Frank Sovington. You know, I listen all the time. You guys are great. But here's the deal. Why is it that every time I turn around, I look around and I see a Muslim protest? They're Muslims. And what they're doing is they've infiltrated this country. They took over school boards in certain places. They've actually got places in Congress. This is an invasion we can't survive as a country. If we want to be the country we are, in God we trust. It's not in Allah we trust.
Well, Allah is just a word that means God. I think the mistake that you make and the reason why it's dangerous to assume that you can define somebody's beliefs by putting them in a group is that you might pick the wrong group. For example, I would say that these kids are woke, that these kids grew up as Americans and identify with the ideology that young Americans have learned in the fancy schools that they go to, and in the not so fancy schools that they go to, they are being indoctrinated into that kind of system that believes what they believe. It's as simple as that. These are Americans. And that's what Americans believe if they're in that demographic in much larger numbers than any other demographic. So maybe it's that. Don't assume you know. It's a mistake. You know that expression about assume. We can explore ideas. It doesn't mean we know. 860-522-9842. That was a good rant, though. It was. What is that?
Just wanted to rant about the situation going on with all these Palestinian protests. People have to wake up. It's being funded, perpetrated, agitated by the same people that did Black Lives Matter. It's the same organizations. In the big picture, it's got nothing to do with Black Lives. It's got nothing to do with the Palestinians. It's the flavor of the month. Their goal is to change America. Doesn't matter. They're not there for the Palestinians. They weren't there for the Black people and Black Lives Matter. They're there to change our country. People better wake up and see what it's about. That's all for now.
You see that? There's a whole nother theory. We don't know what caused them, but we do know they're Americans. And they don't sound particularly different than other people their age, because they are captives of our rigged public schools and our rigged universities that get $40 billion a year in federal funding that has defined and controlled them and made them victims, indoctrinated by the state.
On the East Coast to the West Coast, where is Joe? Well, Joe is trying to stay with all the campus.
Oh, what is that? I don't know where that came from. I think maybe we're done with the rants. Yeah, looks like we're done with the rants. All right, good. So we, I told you about this cookbook. We've got a guest coming up. I'm excited because this is a book interview, but it's food-based, and we've got the food hour coming up at 5 o'clock. So this is a little transition thing. The book is by Frankie Spice Morelli. It's The Mob Cookbook and Diet, M-O-B-B. Stands for something, I don't know what. Featuring delicious recipes like Big Mike's Italian-style Dover sole. Explore a cookbook that transcends the ordinary. Italian culinary treasures. Savor and slim the Italian way. Alleged mobsters' untold tales. It's got some interesting stuff in it. With Spice. That's a good nickname for a guy who likes to cook. Spice Morelli. I always wish I had a name like that. Spice Morelli. Just, I don't know, there's something more appealing, isn't there, having a name like that? So he'll be with us at 4:40. We can take a call or two during the bottom of the hour break after the news, and we will do our thing as time goes by. 860-522-9842. Mark Christopher is manning the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. What's the latest, Mark?
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show. Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
860-522-9842. What's going on? Nice to have you here. We've got Order Up coming up in about a half an hour. And that is something we look forward to doing every week here on WTIC. Not as much as we look forward to talking to Don in East Hartford. Hello, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd. Listen, if everybody was thinking the same way back in the days of slavery, if every generation continued with the same hatred and the same racist philosophy, do you think black people would have been free today? No. generations put us in slavery. Then they have the second and the third and the fourth generation decided that this was immoral and they wanted to change it. You guess what I'm saying? And so,
yes.
So their grandparents and their great-grandparents who had black people in slavery, the younger generation came and said, no, that's immoral. We're done with slavery.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about young people?
Yes.
Well,
it was the younger generation who decided that slavery was immoral.
Well, yes, but they don't do that in a vacuum. They're being influenced by the developments that occur in the world. And so there is societal progress that happens, new ways of thinking that happen. Those can be generated, those ideas, by old folks, perhaps, or young folks, or people in between, but not accepted immediately. They have to penetrate over time.
It wasn't the old folks who decided that they were going to abolish slavery. It was other younger politicians who came into the political arena and realized that it was not in the best interest of America to do that. That's one point, because I don't want to keep you. My second point is, everybody's talking about the students in America and on the campuses demonstrating pro-Palestinian, but nobody has paid any attention that this is now a global thing. I just looked it up. There are protests in London, Tokyo, Karachi, Pakistan, France, and many more. It's a global, it is starting to become a global protest. Why is that so?
I think because Israel is behaving in a way that's hard to stomach.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you.
I think that's what's going on.
Injustice anywhere, man, is injustice everywhere.
I like that phrase. You going to write a song about that?
I've been saying that for the last 30-something years, man. That's all I talk about, injustice. You know that.
Yeah, but you have to find new ways to say it all the time. New clever little phrases. Thank you, Don. Have a great weekend. 860-522-9842. All right. We're going to leave the politics behind. We're going to talk to Frankie Spice Morelli about his mob cookbook and diet coming up. And then during the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have our food hour. Stay with us on WTIC. Stay with Mark Christopher, too, on a Friday afternoon. He's in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
Wait a sec. This is pretty exciting. We're going to talk food early today because our food hour is in the 5 o'clock hour. But we've got a book author on today. Frankie Spice Morelli joins us right now on WTIC. I've never talked to a guy with a nickname like that. Hello, Frank.
How are you doing?
So are you, you're Frank Jr.? Is that what you are?
I'm Frank J. Morelli the third, actually.
The third?
Yes, and my son's the fourth.
Your son is the fourth. Well, we can leave your son out of it if he's not if he's not relevant to this conversation. But so the Spice family, how far back do you guys go with being spicy?
Well, I guess three generations since my grandfather came over on the boat from Italy.
Okay, he came from Sicily?
Tuscany.
Oh, Tuscany, good. All right, this is getting more interesting already. So tell us start from the present. Who are you in terms of food? Why did you come out with a cookbook?
Well, I came up with the cookbook because I got into trouble and I landed into a federal prison. And I became friends with some noted mafiosa, such as Nicky Scarfo Jr., who took 8 bullets to the chest on Halloween night of 1989 and lived, and Frankie the Ice Pick and several other ones that checked me out. They liked me. I cooked for them, and I was in a detention center for 38 months. So I wrote 3 books. One of them is my cookbook, and I had a great deal of food experience. I'd won the governor's award in the state of Colorado for the best all Colorado meal for my restaurant, Morelli's Ristorante Italiano. And I built an international pasta company that traded very well in the NASDAQ stock exchange called Nona Morelli. And we ended up having 250 employees, and we private labeled pasta for Kraft Foods. We did our own label for Safeways, Kroger's, and all over. And we even were into Sam's Clubs. So I had a great deal of food experience. So I wanted to put my food experience making a cookbook that was with recipes that are simple, easy to make, and taste great.
All right. And do you still have a food business? Or are you now done with all those big business enterprises? And yeah, now you're just doing this thing, the cookbook.
I'm doing this, and then I'm working as a consultant to some restaurants that might take the Mob, license the Mob name, and open up restaurants around the country, starting in Colorado, possibility of North Carolina, the Bahamas, and places like that.
This is the word Mob with two B's? Is that your brand?
Mob, yeah, that is our brand. And let me explain what Mob stands for. MOB stands for Mercy and Optimism Behind Beyond Borders. So everybody deserves a second chance of life, including those like myself who have fallen. Nobody is perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. And it's about positive thinking, changing your life for the better. And we have a lot of stories about people that anywhere from Crips to mafia guys to people with autism that have changed their life. And that's what our book is about. But it's very entertaining. It's a coffee table cookbook that the quality is better than most celebrity chefs' cookbooks because you can stand it up straight, lay it out flat, and the paper's thick. It's very nice, easy to read.
I like that about the book, how the, I've got it in my lap right now. And I like how it's bound in some interesting way so that it does open flat, which is, it's crazy to do a cookbook in such a way that you can't use it while you're cooking.
Yes, and it looks way better the way we have it than if you put it in a spiral binding. We could have put it in a spiral binding, then you wouldn't have a coffee table cookbook.
Yeah. But no, this is a beautiful book. I just want to say for folks who don't have it in their lap, which I assume is everybody who's listening to us. So we're talking with Frankie Spice Morelli. He told you his history. Tell us about your what is the biggest mistake you made in your life?
Well, probably listening to four attorneys that got me into trouble. Okay. That was probably the biggest mistake that I made in my life, and I learned a lot from that mistake, and it got wiped out, and I had to start all over again, and I was just very fortunate that in my previous life I'd helped a lot of people, and they've helped me get back on my feet, so that's a very good thing, and with their help, I'm where I am today. They helped me finance my book, and things are starting to go out, are going really well now since they've helped me out.
And what is the best thing you ever did in your life?
Well, I've helped people my whole life. My whole life I've helped people. We come from a little town in Florence, Colorado, and I've supported kids for 30, 40 years. Our team won the state championship in football. I would pay for the whole team to go to Arizona and train at a sports science institute. We're a little 1A school now. We went up to 2A. We would even be 5A schools in football. So I helped a lot of kids. Some of those kids got college scholarships because I helped them. I helped a national karate team with kids that were from the barrio in Norwalk, California, because my son was also good in karate. So I sponsored the whole team, and they won world titles and, you know, black belt fighting. They won in places like Disney World, Madison Square Garden. So I've helped people my whole life. And when I was in prison, I got a lot of people home early. Over 130 people wrote me letters. And when I finally got sentenced, three families, including one guy that had got out, told the judge that I actually helped save their lives, because I got promoted to being a suicide companion when I was in prison. So I helped people, you know, and a lot of people, you know, were very depressed and stuff. And I got them to change the way they did things through diet, exercise, and positive thinking. So I would say I saved a lot of people's lives when I was at the detention center in Philadelphia. And that's some of the best things I did was helping people.
All right. And right now, you're how many months out of, or years out of prison?
I got out in April 2020. I went on home confinement for about 6 months. So I probably, and then they let me off of probation about 18 months early because I was a good citizen. I was doing a lot of community work and things like that. So the judge said, well, he's a good guy. He let me off. And so I've been helping people. And that's what I've done my whole life. I did get into trouble. But when I got sentenced, 130 people wrote me letters to the
judge. That's pretty awesome.
After the past. Yeah, so.
So tell us your food philosophy.
Well, my food philosophy is you need to make recipes that are simple and easy to make, okay? Because my book is based upon simplicity. So somebody that can't boil water to a gourmet chef will like the recipes. And in Italian food especially, is everything is easy to make, good for you. There's a lot of soups and salads and things like that. And then there are desserts and things that you can eat on your cheat day. But what makes this book different than any book there is, on top of the positive stories, there's very funny mob stories. And people that have actually read the book said it's the most entertaining cookbook they've ever had because it's fun. And we also have three diets that have been vetted by a top nutritionist, Dr. Sandra Frank. So it tells you the calories, the carbs, et cetera. It incorporates some of the soups and salads into the diet. And the difference is the recipes taste really, really good. And we had our book picked up by an independent food critic from New York, and I live in Colorado, never met her. And our cookbook made the finals of Mastering Cookbooks, the cookbook challenge. And they picked two random recipes. And we ended up going against a celebrity chef, Emeril Lagasse, our recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, we won. And that was our New York steak recipe with mob butter.
I believe it because you haven't said bam once.
Exactly. Yeah. We
What's your favorite particular food item? If you were going out to a nice restaurant tonight where you'd never been, an Italian restaurant, what would you want?
Probably veal parmesan. That's one of my favorite recipes. Mm-hmm. And then I like simple things, just like spaghetti and meatballs and San Marzano tomato sauce. San Marzano tomatoes are really, really good because they're consistent. And if you make it's a real simple sauce to make. Anybody could make it. And what most people don't realize is regular tomatoes that you buy in the store have different levels of acid. Mm-hmm. And so even a really good chef can't make a good sauce because the tomatoes aren't consistent. And I'll give you an example. I have a friend named Tony who's a world-class chef, and I thought he was going to kill me. I said, Tony, your sauce doesn't taste good. It's got way too much spices, and it has a horrible aftertaste because he has to put a ton of oregano, a ton of sugar, a ton of onions, a ton of this. Well, a simple sauce is pretty much made with San Marzano tomatoes that you puree, salt, pepper, garlic, and then you can deglaze the garlic with wine. Cook it for 4 hours. It tastes great, and no aftertaste.
So is Tony a restaurant chef? Is that his restaurant sauce?
Yeah, he's had his family's been in the restaurant business for 89 years, four generations, and he's a world-class chef. But guess what? He's changed three things at his restaurant that I taught him, and I'm nowhere near the cook he is. I got him to change his sauce to the sauce, my simple sauce. I got him to change his meatball recipes. And I taught him how to make gnocchi the right way that my grandma taught me when I was a little kid.
And how do you make the gnocchi? How do you do that?
It's real simple. You just you boil potatoes, or you can bake them. Either way, once the potatoes are cool a little bit, you peel them, you rice the potatoes, you add about 60% potatoes, rice potatoes, 40%. It's a good pasta flour, and then like say 5 or 6 eggs, a little bit of salt. You knead it, then you cover it for about 30 minutes, let it rest. Then basically you take it out, you roll it into ropes, you cut them. And now I finger them like my grandma taught me, but a lot of the restaurants just cut them, and they're light as feathers. And the recipe's in my book.
And in the Mob Cookbook and Diet, M-O-B-B, the Mob Cookbook and Diet. Frankie Spice Morelli is our guest. What else do you want us to know? We got like 2 minutes left.
Okay. Well, if anybody wants to buy the book, it's on Amazon, or you can go to rmob.com. And remember, mob with two B's, mobb.com. But I think you'll enjoy the book because it's interesting and it's fun. It's not boring. In fact, one of the top nutritionists in the country who's on the book with me, Dr. Sandra Frank, when she read my first edition, she said she couldn't put the book down. And it's healthy, Mediterranean cuisine, and you'll get a kick out of it. Plus, it's a great gift for Mother's Day, and it's awesome on your coffee table.
It's got a really nice spirit to it. I like the humor and the cool attitude. So thank you for – I just got a text from a listener who said he just ordered the book, so that's cool. When you're are you going to open one in Connecticut?
We've been offered to open one in Connecticut. In fact, our publicist lives in Connecticut, and we've been approached by a couple people in Connecticut to open Recipe. And also remember in our book, which sets us apart, every recipe tells a story. No other cookbook does every single recipe tell a story, which makes us really interesting.
People love stories, but I love good-tasting food. That's what I care about the most.
Well, we won the governor's award. We beat every restaurant in the state of Colorado.
I wouldn't trust a governor anywhere near food.
Oh, I agree with that, especially our governor, but I'm just kidding.
You know, it's funny. My brother lives in Colorado outside of Aspen, and I thought, while we were talking and you mentioned that you live in Florence, I looked it up to see if you live near my brother, and you live like half the country away from him, but you're still in Colorado.
Yes. And now we have 3 stoplights, but we had really good food. People used to come to our restaurant from Wyoming and all over, drive 3 hours.
But that was yesterday, and yesterday's gone. Frank Morelli, Spice, they call him. It's the Mob Cookbook and Diet, M-O-B-B. Thank you for being here. It's great to get to know you.
Well, thank you very much. You have a nice day. Thanks
all
right. for having me.
Oh, bye. Are you kidding? Anybody named Spice is welcome here. Are you kidding? Let's get a traffic update. Mark Spice Christopher in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.